Well, good afternoon, everyone. One of the greatest needs we have in the church today is daily personal prayer. And that's not an exaggeration or an overstatement. It is one of the greatest needs we have in the church today. Daily personal prayer. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Of course, you can't pray 24/7. It's simply talking about continue and daily personal prayer. Don't quit praying. Don't slip into a hit and miss, I'll get to it occasionally, kind of relationship with God in your personal prayer. It means keep up regular prayer. Pray without ceasing. Today, I want to go through three crucial reasons to pray every day. You could add to this list, but these are three critical and crucial reasons to pray every single day without missing a single day. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14 and look at the best example we can go to for regular prayer, Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples or compelled them to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart or by himself to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And as you study through the Gospels, you will see that he did this regularly and he did it often. Here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, perfect in every way. Why would he need to pray? Yet he did pray. He prayed on a regular basis. And you will see over and over again examples of Jesus Christ going off by himself somewhere and spending time praying to his Father in heaven. And he did not cease from praying. Some would say, well, he didn't need to pray. Well, he did pray. And he wanted to pray, and he was strengthened by prayer. And he set an example for the rest of us to pray as well. If we follow and take to heart these three compelling reasons for daily prayer, good things will happen. If we don't, bad things will happen. They will be unavoidable. It's just that simple. I can't overstate how important this is. I know from experience, my personal experience, and from the experience of others that I work with closely, that if we will settle into an uninterrupted program of daily personal prayer, it will open things up like nothing else I know. It is a game changer. It is a life changer. Everything that we are faced with, everything that we must get involved in, everything that is weighing us down or bothering us or irritating us, or looking impossible to us, all of those things and much more completely change when we are in a close, personal, intimate, growing, and unbroken daily prayer relationship with Almighty God. Now, I think we know that, and we may already be involved in that. And if we are, we must continue in it. And if we aren't, we must get started in it. So while we might know this academically, I think sometimes we don't realize it fully, and we might forget about it to a degree, and that's a deadly thing. The first reason to pray on a daily basis is to draw close to God, to draw close to God. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 6. James 4 and verse 6. It says in James 4 and verse 6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And that's how to resist the devil. The way to resist the devil and the world is to draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Eternal and he will lift you up. Discard whatever comes between you and God and decide to draw close to him and to walk with him on a daily basis. You might be filled with guilt. You might be loaded down with some kind of situation you can't seem to shake. But you know what? It says here you can. You just simply go to God and repent deeply and replace that with prayer. And as you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you and you're on your way. Now, it's hard to comprehend fully what we're talking about here. Draw close to God. That's a crucial reason to pray every day. It's hard to comprehend that. They can just be words put together to make a sentence. But take time to think about how great God is and how powerful and how much love and compassion and care he has for us. And think about what a privilege it is to be able to have access to him and to actually draw close to him. And as we do, he will actually draw close to us. Give some thought to how our lives are changed for the better and lifted to a much higher level when we are actually every day close to God and he's close to us. Really close to him and he's really close to us. That solves a lot of problems right there. That brings peace. That brings peace of mind, confidence, sound-mindedness. Our decisions are better. Our desires are right. Our attitudes are good. Our anticipation of the future starts to grow. We put everything in proper order and perspective. And what really counts begins to be what God says, and what really doesn't count begins to be what the world has to offer. Mr. Armstrong said one time, people rely on other people, but God's people rely on God. And that's what we do when we're in a close relationship. Every day, things can come our way that frustrate us or bother us or overwhelm us. And I am here to tell you that the answer to that is to draw close to God. If you draw close to God, whatever comes at you, whatever irritates you, frustrates you, angers you, or overwhelms you is going to be reduced, diminished, and then removed. And then you begin thinking about the kingdom of God. You begin to think about the law of God. You start to think about the purpose for life, the plan of salvation, and all of a sudden your life starts to change. And you start being different. You know what you start doing? You start being more like God. Why? Because you are drawing closer to him. And as you draw and as I draw closer to God, we start thinking more like he thinks. He rubs off on us. We want to be like him. We don't want to be in the world. And we don't want to be like people in the world. And we don't want to pick up things from them. We reject that. And we start picking things up from God. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's interesting. That's a key part, by the way, to living life abundantly. Now, if we do not pray daily, we're not going to draw close to God. We can kind of get close and then fall back again and then fall over or fall to the side. And there's more to drawing close to God than just prayer. True, we have to obey him. But a key part of that equation of drawing close to God, which should be at the top of our list, is daily prayer to God. If we don't have a close personal relationship with God, which includes daily prayer, we're not going to draw close to God, and he is not going to draw close to us. And we're never going to live life the way it could be lived. And we're not going to grow the way we could be growing and have the happiness and the confidence and the peace that could be there and one day be in the kingdom of God. In order to draw close to God, that takes sincere from the heart daily prayer. That certainly is a critical reason for praying every day. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. Daniel 9 and verse 3. Daniel, I feel, is one of the greatest people mentioned in the Bible. He's called the beloved of God, and I think he's called that four times in this book. Look what he did. A man of his stature, and yet look what he did. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, "And I set my face unto the eternal God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." He said he made a conscious and determined decision to draw close to God. That's what he said right here. Daniel got up one day, he'd probably been thinking about it for a while, and he decided, "I am going to seek God by prayer and supplications," and so on. "I'm going to do it. I've decided I'm going to do it." And he proceeded to do that. In other words, he set out to close the gap between himself and God. Close it up and be close to God instead of having a gap between him and God. You know, my wife and I have been talking a lot about this and thinking about it. And we've decided to do that as well. And we hope all of you will. And we hope everybody in the ministry and congregations will. This is what we need more than anything else. Just imagine this. Let's suppose everybody in the ministry and congregation set out to seek God every day in prayer. In other words, everybody, everywhere in the church, wherever they live, every day are going to get on their knees and pray to God and start to draw close to God, and God is going to start drawing close to them. We have yet to see what would happen if that happened. I would like to set out on a crusade to help that happen. Of course, I can't do it for anybody. I can only do it for myself, which I've decided to do, and we are doing it. But I'm going to talk about it a lot until everyone starts to focus and concentrate on that and sets out to do that. And if we will do that, we will be amazed at what God begins to do in the church, in the ministry, and in the individual lives of the brethren. We will be amazed. Now, I know there are already many doing this. I understand. I'm talking about everybody decides, "I'm going to set my face to seek the eternal with prayer and fasting and so on. I'm going to decide to do it. This is going to be priority on a daily basis." It will be amazing what God does and the way he responds when that gap gets closed. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is the one that says, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" Now think about that. If God is for you individually, wherever you work, wherever you go, whatever you do, and wherever I work, and wherever I go, and whatever I do, who can be against us? If God is for the church, who can be against it? A lot of people, but they can't be successful in that opposition because we are close to God, and he's close to us. Listen, when we're close to God, there's no place for Satan in that relationship. He flees. It's when there's a gap develops that he can wedge in there and cause all manner of hurt and grief and confusion. Let's notice Psalms chapter 32. So you have to make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. And if you've already made it, you got to hang in there and stick with that decision. Psalms 32 and verse 5. I personally can't think of any decision that you could ever make that you will be happier about than that decision that I have set my face to draw close to God if you stick with it. I can't think of a decision you'll be happier with. God begins to intervene. Psalms chapter 32 and verse 5. David said, "I acknowledge my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the eternal, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." If we just deeply repent of our mistakes, that's the end of it. God forgives those sins. He blots them out, and we have a clean slate, and then we go forward and we leave it right there. Not only does he forgive those sins, whatever they might be, he forgets them. Now, that doesn't come between us and him anymore. Those sins don't come between us and him anymore. They're gone. Now we can draw close. We can close the gap. Verse 6. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. you shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. See, Satan accuses the brethren night and day before the throne of God, and he will get us accusing others and get us to accuse ourselves. But when we go before God and we repent, it's all gone. Clear, fresh, clean, done. Nothing between us and God now. Now we can close the gap. And like it says right here, David said, pray unto you in a time when you may be found. It's also mentioned over in Isaiah in a different way. Let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't hold back. You know, there's a popular saying that used to be referred to a lot, but I don't hear it too much now, but it's true in many ways, and that was this one. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. If you think about that, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Forget about all of the stuff that's gone on before, all of the mistakes you made and all the attitudes you've had and the things you've said and done. Forget about all of that. Remember the lessons, but don't keep carrying that around. Forget about, well, I wish I'd been praying more, but I didn't, and so there you go. How will I ever start, and how will God ever help me? Forget about all that and just realize, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the love of God, you can start fresh today, and for the rest of your life, embark on a plan and a program of getting closer and closer and closer to God. It's going to take time. It may start small. You may start with baby steps, but you're starting to get closer and closer to God every day, every day, every day, every day, not skipping a day. And God will help you do that. Verse 6, Isaiah 55, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't put it off. Don't wait until it's too late to enter into a close personal relationship with Almighty God, which he wants with you and me, by praying every day. That's one of the most important reasons why we need to pray every single day, is so we can draw close to him, and he then will draw close to us. If we don't pray every day, we're not going to draw close to him, and he's not going to draw close to us. We can have a relationship and kind of stumble along. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a close personal relationship where there's no gap in between, and it's getting more and more of a bond, and it's getting personal, and you're really getting to know him, and he's really getting to know you. It's a matter of deciding to do that and then doing it. The second crucial reason why we need to pray every day is so we can ask for things. We need to ask for things. That's what he says in many places. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 1. James 4 and verse 1. From whence come wars or conflicts and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not, and why is that? Because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You have not, because you ask not. Consider this. What are we missing out on because we don't ask? We don't ask for ourselves, we don't ask for others, and we don't ask for the work. I know you ask, and I do. But do we ask enough and on a daily basis? And do we ask what we need for ourselves and our families? And Jesus Christ said we should. But also, do we ask what others need? And do we ask for what the work needs? Now, how much more is it likely for those requests to be granted if we are close to God and then on a daily basis, part of our prayer involves asking for those things? Well, it's way more likely to happen. But if we're not praying every day, then we're not asking God for these things every day. And therefore, he says, you receive not because you ask not. I'm talking about asking for forgiveness, asking for his Holy Spirit, asking for his help, asking for his strength, asking for healings for others, asking for open doors for the work, asking for help in preparing for the feast, and I could go on. And when we don't pray every day, we're not asking for those things on a regular basis and every day. And that's a very crucial reason to pray fervently every day. We don't ask, we don't receive. We ask, we receive. Let's ask every day. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. I repeat, what did we miss out on because we didn't ask? What could have happened in our lives if on a daily basis we were asking God for it? Or asking God to give those things to others? Or asking God to bless his word? Asking does make a difference. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer, Paul said, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, he said. In what way? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I hope you'll be praying every day that God will help us with the broadcast. I hope you'll be praying every day for the enduring.org website and for the straightforward.org website. I hope you'll be praying every day for God's blessing on his church and his work and his ministers. Are we missing out on some of those things because we don't ask? And how often do we ask? And of course, in our asking, we also thank God. And we are very, very thankful to him for what he gives us. Now notice here in Colossians 4 and verse 12, Paul said, pray for us and pray for the work and pray that we can do what God has given us to do and that he'll give us open doors. Look at this magnificent example here of a servant of God here in Colossians 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. I think you can probably do this, but I stand before you and tell you without hesitation, I can start in South Africa and pray for every single person in the church by name. And you can too, if you put your mind to it. This man right here labored fervently in prayer for people in the church, asking God to bless people with jobs and with better jobs and that they will receive raises on the job, asking God to bless people with health and healing and protection and encouragement, asking God to supply the needs of families and different people that we happen to know that have specific needs. And then those things happen. Why? Because you ask, and you ask it every day. And therefore God heard. Christ said, ask and you shall receive. You know, I've had people come to me and say, well, I've got a problem and I don't know what to do about it. And I've just been fighting this problem for I don't know how long. And sometimes I'll say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no. Well, why not? Why not pray about it? We can talk about it and maybe lay out a plan to address the problem and maybe you can do your part to help get rid of the problem. But the very first thing to do is to be praying about it. Have you gone to God and knelt down and prayed to God about it and asked for his help and asked for insight? That's a strong reason to pray every day. Our prayers make a difference with God. His ears are open unto us. He hears and he answers. Many places in the Bible prove that point. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. He's not saying be careless and foolish. He's saying don't be anxious. Don't live life under stress and duress and doubt and anxiety. But here's what to do, Paul said. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whatever your request might be, it doesn't matter what your request is. let it be known to God. If you're sincere about it, and if it's a request that is righteous and proper within God's law, let him know. If you are lonely, you talk to God about being lonely. If you're confused or frustrated, talk to God about that. If you need encouragement or you need more faith, let your request be made known unto God. A better place to live, more wisdom and understanding. If you need help with your temper, if you need to settle down, if you need to change in this, that, and the other way, let your request be made known to God. If you would like to be able to please God more, talk to him about that. It says, in everything, let your request be made known unto God. He wants to hear, and it makes a tremendous difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And pray for others, the ministers, those who are sick, those who are doing well, that they don't neglect thanking God for everything that's going well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. You also help and together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Us, he says, pray for us. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, ministers who really love the flock and love the brethren, when their name comes up, they just want to thank God for that individual. I could start ticking off names that sometimes I'll just go in and kneel down and thank God for. Their attitude is tremendous. Their zeal, their enthusiasm, their love for the truth, the way they're changing. I'll tell you something that I love to see about as much as anything else, and that's when a person comes to see they're wrong or they made a mistake, and they repent and they change. What a wonderful thing. And that's the end of the problem, and now they're going to do what's right. When I hear of that, I thank my God upon every remembrance of them, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, Paul said. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Making his requests known to God for others, for the churches, for the brethren. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, if Paul had not requested that of God, God might not have given them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. But because Paul took time to mention them in his prayers and to ask specifically that God give that to them, he gave it to them. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Look at all that he mentioned there, all that he asked for. Look at all of the requests he made for others. If we do that on a daily basis, it's going to make a huge difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others and in the progress of the work. Ask for forgiveness. Claim the promises. Thank him for his blessings. Ask for strength. Ask for help. Ask for knowledge and wisdom. He'll hear. He'll give it to you. No doubt. And we need that. All of us do. Let's notice Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Ask for happiness. Ask for peace, contentment, zeal, love for others and for God. Ask for help to pray. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. Look at this. Yea, if you cry after knowledge. Did you notice that? Yea, if you cry after knowledge, if you want knowledge, if you ask God for more knowledge of him and of his word and of his way, and that he will help you see yourself and what you need to change in order to get closer to him, he'll do that. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the eternal and find the knowledge of God. You're going to understand things in the Bible you never saw there before. And you're going to understand things in the Bible you did see before, but now you understand it further. It just opens up because you ask. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Of course, we have to be obedient to God. If we're disobeying God and we're rebellious and we're wrapped up in the world, but we throw out these so-called prayers, the sins that we are wallowing in have cut us off. But when that's repented of and gotten out of the way, and we start asking for the things mentioned here, God is going to start giving them to us at the right time and the right way. If we look to him in faith, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things, who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And because you're asking for wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discretion and God's help, and you're crying out for it, he will give that to you and you'll be delivered from wrong people doing wrong things. The third and last reason I'll go into for praying every single day is to worship and praise the great eternal God. Let's turn to Psalms 136. We shouldn't let a day go by that we're not on our knees in private, worshiping God, praising God, glorifying God, honoring God, thanking God, surrendering and submitting to God. He responds to that. And I think you do that. I do. And you know what I mean. And you've experienced his response. What I'm saying is we need to do that more. And if we are doing it, do it more. And if we're not doing it, we need to get started in doing it. Every day. Every day. Without fail. Plan for it. Notice Psalms 136 in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Eternal, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. When you read through this chapter, you see David praising God and worshiping God and giving thanks to God and glorifying God. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. Now he's praising God for his creation. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. See, just praising God for his creation, praising God for the sun, the moon, the stars, and thanking him and acknowledging that he did it. Verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endures forever. You know, people can be real nice and friendly when you're just doing great, but when you start faltering and not doing so great, and you have nothing to give them, and there's nothing impressive about you, and other people don't really like you, your so-called friends can take off like a bunch of rats off of a sinking ship. But see, that's not the way God is. I love this verse. Who remembered us in our low estate, maybe at our very lowest when we thought there was no hope, he remembers us because his mercy endures forever. And he never gives up on us. and has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Such praise, such glorifying, such worshiping of God that David did. David spent much of his prayer time in worship and praise to the Eternal. Sometimes it's good to take a day where all we do is in our prayer, or a good part of what we do in our prayer is just to praise God and worship God and glorify God and thank God and honor God. Notice Proverbs 15, verse 8. You know, you read about the sacrifices, animal sacrifices, in the Bible, and they were required of God under the Levitical priesthood. We're not under the Levitical priesthood anymore. We're under the Melchizedek priesthood. And while we don't offer animal sacrifices, we still offer sacrifices. And we ought to do it every day. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Meaning prayer, really, if you take this in context. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Look at that. The prayer of the upright. When you and I come before God every day and we kneel down and we start talking to him with great love and respect and honor and awe, and we simply pour out our heart to him about whatever might be on our mind every day. Here's what he says in describing that. He says here, in Proverbs 15 and verse 8, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Can you imagine? Our prayers are a delight to him? I believe that. Don't underestimate that statement. Every day, man, woman, or child, you go in and shut the door in a private place and kneel down and start talking to God. Don't take it lightly. He doesn't. Realize he really loves the fact that you're doing that, especially if we're doing it in the right attitude. That's a form of sacrifice that we're offering up to him, and it is a delight to him. It is precious to him. Another crucial reason for praying every day, to worship and praise the great God. You know, when Jesus Christ gave the outline to prayer, notice what he started with and what he ended with. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 9 of Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Great and holy and magnificent and wonderful is your name, Holy Father. You start out with praising and glorifying God. And look how it ends up. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Begins and ends with standing in awe of God and his greatness and praising and honoring him. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And in our prayers, brethren, I hope that we sometimes just tell God we love him and how much we love him. You might say, oh, he already knows. Yes, but he likes to hear it. And the Bible says we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul. We ought to tell him that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul wrote under inspiration of God, Ephesians 5, 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, which you can do just between you and him. I think he loves it when you take a walk or go around the house or drive along in the car and you're just singing and talking and praising him between you and him. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we thank him, we praise him, we worship him, we honor him, and we glorify him. And that's a wonderful reason to pray every day. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So you're not doing a heave offering or a grain offering or a sin offering or bringing a shoulder or a hip or a chunk of meat and throwing it up on the altar. You're not bringing bulls and goats by the dozens, but you're still sacrificing if every day you do this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He should be hearing from us every day honor and thanksgiving and praise and adoration and awe and surrender and thanks to him. It's a delight. Let's notice 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Does it matter? Does he care? Is it a wasted amount of time? No, it isn't. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Eternal are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Eternal is against them that do evil. His ears are open unto their prayers. He hears. He cares. He listens. He answers. He loves every minute of it. It's a great delight to him. It's a pleasant, sweet smell to him when we pray to him. And therefore, if we do it every day without fail, think how wonderful that is to him, and it'll be wonderful for you as he responds to that. That's the way it works. Don't miss out on that privilege. Don't let it go by. Look what he says about our prayers here in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. The other day I left the house and walked by a corner of the flower bed to get into the car, and I was almost overwhelmed by a tremendous, beautiful, wonderful aroma coming from a rose bush of fresh roses that had just blossomed out. And it was outside, it wasn't inside, and yet there was such a sweet smell that it wafted right out over the sidewalk as I walked along and stopped me in my tracks. What a wonderful experience. Do you know that's what God says about our prayers? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Incense in bowls that smelled good. And incense was beaten fine. So this shows that our prayers should be in detail. We ought to mention names and events and places and concerns, and offer this sweet savor up to God, which he delights in. It says right here, golden vials full of odors. Other translations say, bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Don't deny God that delight a single day. Come before him. Look forward to it. He does. He does. This is something that you will look forward to if you get going in this daily prayer to Almighty God. You pray to him in the morning, you find time to pray to him at noon, and you find time to pray to him at night. You will begin to look forward to it. He does. Every day. Every day. I heard a minister say one time, one thing I'm not going to do is miss a meal unless I'm fasting. I'm going to eat breakfast, and I'm going to eat lunch, and I'm going to eat dinner. So he said, I decided to put a prod on myself as far as my daily prayer is concerned. And I made this decision. I don't eat till I pray. So in the morning, before he'd go eat breakfast, he prayed. Then he went and ate. At noon, before he ate lunch, he prayed. Then he went and ate. And at night, before he had his supper, he prayed. Then he went and ate. He said, if I can find time to eat three meals a day, I can certainly find time to pray to my great God three times a day. Every day. Didn't miss a day, he said, when he started in on that program, any more than he missed a meal, unless he was fasting. I want to finish up with some ideas and suggestions on how to restart your prayer life and keep it going and growing from now on, or if you, and I trust this is the case, are involved in a close personal prayer life and relationship with God, to make sure it never wanes or diminishes, but rather gets stronger. Here are some suggestions. They're not the be-all, end-all total package of how to restart your prayer life and keep it going and growing from now on, but I think they might help. I think they might help if you'll consider them. Number one, admit there is a problem of not praying. And instead of beating yourself up about this, or blaming others, or making excuses, or blocking it out, just simply face it, and you don't have to tell anybody else. This is just between you and God. Simply face it and admit the fact that I have a problem with daily prayer, and I'm not doing it, or I'm not doing it as often as I should. Just flat out admit that, and then truly repent before God. He'll forgive you. He'll hear. He'll answer. Just repent. Ask Him to forgive you, and He will. The second thing is beseech God to help you get back to praying effectively. You know, the disciples said to Jesus Christ, "Teach us to pray." We can go to God and say, "Help me pray, and help me to pray on a daily basis, and help me to pray effectively and in a way that's pleasing to you. Show me how. Help me. Help me get started, and then keep moving and growing in my daily prayer life with you. And help me close the gap between me and you. Help me to draw close to you." Ask Him to do that. The third suggestion I have is determine what gets in the way of a close personal daily prayer life with God and replace that with prayer. And have the courage now to face the facts. Don't make excuses. When you get up in the morning and start your day, what gets in the way of going to a quiet, private place and praying? What gets in the way? What comes up and instead of praying, you did that? Is it exercise? Is it television? Is it the computer? Is it calling other people? Is it just not bothering? What is it? What gets in the way of going ahead and every day praying to God? Just be honest. What is it? Is it something you want to do rather than pray? Nail it down. And then ask God to help you and simply move that out of the picture and replace it with prayer. Now the prayer's done. Now you can take a look and say, "Well, now maybe I can do that or do that or do that." But don't let it come before God. See, this tells God something. When we let anything or anybody come before Him on any given day, He looks and says, "Well, wait a minute. Do you love me more than you love them? Do you love me more than you love that? You don't seem to get around to coming to me, but you can always get around to going to them." And when He sees you repent of that and you change that, He's going to respond. And you're going to be blessed. And by the way, when you start out on this, like priming a pump, it may not be much water to start with in order to get that pump running again. But it starts to run. And then it picks up speed, then it starts pulling water, and then gushing water, and then pumping water with a tremendous volume. You might start slow. But if you do start slow, do it every day, and then you'll pick up momentum. You'll pick up speed, and you'll begin to progress. You'll see what I'm talking about when you draw close to God, and He draws close to you every day. Now, of course, throughout the day, you can pray silently, sitting somewhere, walking somewhere. And should. You're in contact with Him throughout the day. That's wonderful. What I'm talking about, however, is going into a private place and kneeling down and presenting yourself before God in deep, heartfelt prayer to Him. That's what I'm talking about. One time I was visiting a lady and this subject came up and I said, "Well, you know, we need to be praying to God every day." "Oh, I pray all day long. I just walk around praying." Well, I said, "Okay, but what about getting down on your knees, both of them, and praying to God fervently in worship and in faith?" And she hadn't thought of that. Here's another suggestion. Carefully consider the alternative of not praying every day. Just carefully think about that. If you're not praying every day, where's that going to lead? What's going to be the result of that? What will be the outcome of that? It won't be good, I can tell you that. We're living in very perilous times. Can any of us imagine someone going to the place of safety who is not praying to God? So when the church gets to the place of safety, we can say, okay, now here's the group that prayed every day fervently to God. They made it. And here's the group that didn't pray or just prayed in a hit and miss fashion. They made it. Is that going to be the way it works? I don't think so. I think the people that are close to God are going to be the people that are delivered from the tribulation and taken to the place of safety. I think even more importantly than that, the people who are close to God are going to be the ones who are given entrance into the kingdom of God. I don't think in the kingdom of God, surrounding God's throne or going wherever he sends us, there's going to be a group of people that are now spirit beings, and here are those spirit beings who prayed every day and served God and walked with him. Over here is also spirit beings who didn't pray that much or almost never or sometimes, but they're both in the kingdom. No. No. Don't get me wrong. I know you might miss a day. I know sometimes you might go in and kneel down and there's just nothing happens. I know that sometimes you labor away. I understand all that. If you miss a day, don't miss the next day. And try to figure out, well, why did I miss that? And correct it. I'm talking to me, too. I know I've gone through all this. The fifth point to get our prayer life underway is actually, truly coming to the point to where you decide to do this. Like Daniel did, I set my face to seek the eternal. You really decided to do it. Now, this is going to take motivation, and this is going to take persistence. When we do things that really accomplish something, you're going to find there's motivation there. What motivates us to absolutely, on a daily basis, every day, pray to God? When we're motivated to do it, we're going to do that. One of the ways we can be motivated to do it is to decide to do it. I've made the decision. I'm not going to let job get in the way. I'm not going to let school get in the way. I'm not going to let any project that's going on get in the way. I'm going to do this. Sometimes we get sick and we're in bed. God understands that. When we are getting better, we start back in to our daily prayer. But while we're sick and laying in bed, we can pray. Decide to do it. Here's what I've found. Daily prayer leads to more prayer. It's just kind of a connected, wonderful thing that happens. We pray, and then tomorrow we pray again, if we push, and then it becomes a way of life. And then we get to where, well, I don't want to miss out on that. You know, you might have made a mistake and gone all day, and now you're tired and you're ready to go to bed, and you haven't really gotten on your knees and prayed. Before you go to bed, get on your knees and pray. You may not be able to pray for a long time, but make sure you get on your knees and pray. And then tomorrow, correct the situation. You will see that prayer leads to prayer. It begins to break the inertia that kind of has you bottomed out, and momentum starts to build. You will actually come to the point where you capture the urgency of what we're talking about here, the necessity, the thrill. You will start to get on your knees every day without fail. This will start to change everything. You'll be amazed how much better you feel, how much more pleasant you are, how much more peaceful you are, confident you are. You begin to have more relaxed faith. You start to trust God more, care for what he thinks and says, and your love for him grows. You start getting answers. I know people I've talked to about this very subject and talked about how if we're not doing this, we could be in trouble. And they get to where they don't care. I don't care. So what? I'm done with that. But what they overlook is when they're not in God's hands receiving his blessings and protection, it gets pretty painful and then way more painful. And here's what really hurts. They start seeing the ones they love suffer. They might say, well, I'll just gut it out. But they start seeing the ones they love really suffer because they're not protected either. And they're not blessed either. And they're not praying either. They're following the wrong example in some cases. Let's be careful. Let's be alert. Let's think about this. It's very important. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 2. I don't like to spend a whole lot of time and thought about people who leave the church, but I've seen some astounding, shocking examples of people who were so caught up in the work and so dedicated to the church and so inspired by the truth and so involved in this way of life start to lose momentum, start to lose interest. I have yet to see an exception to this. When we talk and they open up and tell me what's going on, without exception, among the other problems will always be this problem. I quit praying. I quit praying. One time there was a tremendous man and his wife in the church, and he was so dedicated, he served everybody, and so he was ordained a deacon. And he did so well. But he started to kind of get quiet and stand off, and you could see something's wrong. And I was going out of town to conduct a Bible study in the middle of the week. And I asked him if he could go with me and help me with the driving. And as usual, he said, I'll be glad to. And so we're driving along way out in the Canadian prairies all by ourselves. He started to talk. And he told me, I've got problems. I'm losing interest. I'm not as excited as I used to be. And I said, well, how's your prayer life? And he said, I haven't prayed for 6 months. I haven't prayed for 6 months. I said, well, there's your problem. If you'll recapture that true love, and if you'll start doing what you used to do, you'll find that your love for prayer leads to your love for the truth again. And all of this will be behind you. And he said, well, that's what I'm going to do. But that's not what he did. It wasn't too long until he decided to leave the church, and then they moved, and I don't know where he is now. But it starts there. And then it leads to, I'm not as really caught up with the work anymore, and then it leads to not being excited about coming to services, and then it leads to not coming to services. It's just a whole chain reaction that is so alarming to see. Talks about it right here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift away. If we're not really on guard, and if we're not really alert and watching and cultivating what we know and what we've heard and treasuring it and carefully valuing it, the truth I'm talking about, and the church and the work and our calling and our relationship with God, we can lose our grip on those things, and we can begin to slowly drift away. And look what it says here in verse 3, Hebrews 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Just by pure neglect. Well, I neglected prayer today. What came up? Oh, I got busy. You know, Mr. Armstrong said to the ministers at a minister conference one time, you can busy yourself right out of the church doing God's work. I've known ministers who take this approach. Look, I don't have time for prayer and study. I'm teaching the Bible all day anyway, and I'm serving God's people. That takes care of it. No, it doesn't take care of it. Ministers must pray every day. Oh, I've got to go anoint this person. I've got to make this call. I've got to get this sermon ready. The first thing to do is make sure that you get your prayer done. Well, if a minister must do that, so must everyone else. So, as I said, determine what got in the way and caused you to neglect your prayer on any given day. Because you know what? Anytime I neglect my prayer, I'm neglecting salvation. And when we multiply those days of neglecting prayer, we are multiplying the result and the end result, which is a very sad end result of neglecting salvation. And we lose out. That's what we're reading right here in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Look at this unique privilege, this fantastic honor. And I'm telling you, you'll find this to be the case. You enter into a close personal relationship with God, and you start drawing close to Him, and He draws close to you, and you know He's there, and you know He's listening, and you know He cares, and you know He answers. It's going to be the greatest thing you can have in your life. And I know it is for me. Just look at this opportunity right here. We read about in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, or confidently, because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and the access he gives to the Father. We can come before the throne of grace confidently, any time of the day or night, 24/7. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's where we can go to get whatever help we need. That's where we can go to turn our lives totally around. That's where we can go and keep going every day for the rest of our lives. And that's going to end up one day of God saying to us, well done. You've walked with me. I know you. You know me. You put me first. You fulfilled your calling. You grew more and more like me because you walked with me more and more. Come into the kingdom. Put this crown on and live forever and ever in my family, serving me more and more in whatever I have in mind for you to do. Welcome. Welcome into the kingdom of God. You kept your lamp full of oil. You always found time for me on a daily basis. Now it's my good pleasure to give you my kingdom and to give you a position in my kingdom. Come in. Welcome. Because you did not neglect me. Rather, you drew close to me and walked with me and grew in your relationship with me on a daily basis. Let's do that. Let's decide to do that. Let's determine to do that. Let's set out to do that. Let's set our face to seek God in that way. If we do, we'll find him. And he'll walk with us, and we'll walk with him. And everything in our lives will go better. Everything will go better then, without fail. Every single time. In every way. Even when there's trials and tests and setbacks and pain and suffering. We manage it and bear it better when we're close to God, yielded to God, coming before God every day, and when we have decided and we follow up on that decision, absolutely, to pray without ceasing.